This is Gloria Minot Presents.
My next guest is Jean Kwok. She's going to be speaking about her debut novel, Girl in Translation. In Girl in Translation, Jean Kwok delivers a vibrant portrayal of the Chinese-American immigrant experience, a world that is rarely seen in fiction. Brought to the United States along with her mother by an aunt who does not have her family's best interests at heart, Kim is forced to live in an unheated, vermin-infested apartment. There she attends a mostly black public school where she's taught in a language she barely understands and must work long hours after school beside her frail and overwhelmed mother in a Manhattan sweatshop in order to survive. Most cruelly of all, Kim soon grasps that all hopes of her family's future rest entirely on her. Yet she also tells a story that is shared by every immigrant, a tale of leading two disparate lives, maneuvering in two languages and juggling two often clashing sets of cultural expectations. At the same time, King faces the emotional, social, and moral challenges that deeply engage us all. Jean Kwok, good morning and welcome.
Thank you for having me, Gloria.
First of all, this novel came about because you took part in a Discoverer Great New Writers program?
Right. Well, it was picked by the Barnes & Noble's Discover Great New Writers program, mm-hmm. but the book had already been written at that point. But I was very fortunate that they did pick it out to be one of their picks.
Congratulations. So how does your life mirror the life of your protagonist, Kimberly Chang?
Well, the novel is, of course, a work of fiction, but it is similar to my own life in a lot of ways because my family and I moved from Hong Kong to the United States, to New York City, when I was 5 years old. And like Kimberly Chang and her mother in the book, we had to start our lives all over again. What that meant was that we had been fairly well-to-do in Hong Kong, but when we got to Brooklyn, my family started working in a clothing factory in Chinatown just to survive, and I had to go along, even though I was only five, because there was really nobody who could stay home with me to watch me, and everybody had to work day and night just to make enough to get by. So, you know, we were thrust into very difficult circumstances, and we were living in this apartment in Brooklyn that was unheated, so there was not even a heating system, and that meant that the winters were just bitterly cold. And the only source of heat we had, like Kimberly and her mother in the novel, was the oven in the kitchen, you know. So we used to turn it on and leave it on day and night to just have a little bit of warmth through the bitter New York winters.
Mm-hmm. How did you make your way out of those circumstances into the schools that you attended? And talk to us about that experience.
I was very lucky in that, you know, like Kimberly, I had a talent for school, and things that were taught in school came easily to me. But, you know, I really have a great lack of talent in a lot of other areas.
Okay.
So I've often thought that, you know, if I had been good at the things a Chinese girl was supposed to be good at, like cleaning and cooking and listening, which I was all disastrous in. If I had been good in those things and not good in school, I probably would have wound up as a cleaner in a restaurant somewhere instead of being a successful novelist today. But what happened was because I did have this talent for school, even though I struggled at the beginning since I didn't speak any English at all, once I learned English, I started doing better, and I went to a public elementary school, then was admitted to a public high school for intellectually gifted children, and then I was accepted early to Harvard, and I did my bachelor's there and later did my master's at Columbia. So I was very fortunate.
Well, let's get back to Kimberly Chang. The parents of Kim's affluent classmates refuse to believe that child labor exists in contemporary America, even though it flourishes just a few miles from where they live. How widespread is child labor in this country? More particularly, how common is it in Chinatown? And what is being done about it?
Well, you know, I'm not an expert in the field, so I'm speaking simply as a person who has some personal experience with being a child in Chinatown. I think that Chinese parents do not, like many other working class parents, are faced with a problem, which is that if everyone needs to work as hard as they can to make enough to get by, you don't know what to do with the children. And it's not that the children are, you know, made to work, but it's oftentimes a situation where you can't leave the child behind in an unsafe, unheated apartment, and then the child gets brought along. So I do know that, you know, when I was young, there were a lot of sweatshops in Chinatown, but most of those sweatshops have moved back to China at this point, although I'm sure there's really no shortage of low-wage labor.
Mm-hmm. Was it difficult to reimagine the world of that young immigrant girl again, or is the experience still very fresh for you?
Well, I think that, you know, when you've lived in an apartment that is unheated through negative 10 degrees, and there's a pane of ice on the inside of the windows the whole winter long, it's really hard to forget. And, you know, especially since I'm really scared of roaches and rats and all of those things, and all of my exposure to them as a child did not help in the slightest bit. Mm-hmm. So those experiences were still very vivid when I sat down to write this novel.
Let's talk about your education. You went to one of New York City's elite public high schools, then to Harvard for college and Columbia for graduate work in writing. What are some of the jobs you held to support yourself during those years?
I obviously had to put myself through school. So before I went to Harvard, I had already worked in three laboratories in New York. I had worked in a genetic engineering lab, a molecular biology lab, and a biophysics lab. Then I was accepted early to Harvard. I took advanced standing when I went in, so I entered as a sophomore in physics. And at that time, I loved writing and I loved books, but I didn't dare risk becoming a writer. You know, I think most people who are children in sweatshops grow up to be adults who work in sweatshops. And I was very lucky to not be one of them. And I think most people, the people who do manage to escape that life, choose a less financially risky road, like medicine or, you know, accounting or something like that. And so I devoted myself to math and science, which I also loved. And it was really only when I was at Harvard that I felt, you know, I had the courage to do what I really wanted to do, which was to become a writer.
Mm-hmm. So when you told your parents, your mom, that you were going to write instead of going on to the field of medicine or genetic engineering or one of those fields, what was the response?
Well, you have to remember that I was a disaster as a Chinese daughter. Mm-hmm. So my family, they were amazed when I got into Harvard because they really didn't think I was very bright at all. And what they did know for sure was that I was really this kind of Chinese girl that is impossible to marry off. So when I got into Harvard, they were so thrilled that I could actually most likely find a job by the time I had the degree that, you know, switching from physics to English didn't faze them that much because they were just so glad that they didn't have to find a husband for me.
At that time, it was the least of their problems.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, I was paying my own way through Harvard, so I was working about four jobs at a time. So I did feel like I had the right to make my own decisions.
Wow. Jean Kwok, the book is Girl in Translation. It's a novel, but it mirrors her own life. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you so much for having me, Gloria.
You take care now.